Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim Physics phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Wednesday, the 17th day of the month of Cheshvan, only 36 days until Hanukkah, but who's counting? Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email to sponsor future programs. Please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Barry Gelman of the United Orthodox Synagogue in Houston, Texas, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Gelman slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chabalis and Kuf Lamed, chapters 23, 121, and 130, will be followed by the Mishnah Berach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Gelman to learn more about his wonderful community in Houston. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, the Chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Gelman.
Thank you, Naftali. It's wonderful to be part of this great program to bring chizuk and inspiration to people during this challenging time. And I'm really honored to be part of it. I'm honored to be the rabbi of an OU shul as well. So this is a strange morning, I'm sure, for many of us. A challenging morning. Maybe some of us are feeling anxious as we continually refresh our computers to see if that electoral college magic number has moved closer to where we want it to be. And I've been trying to think of aspects of Torah that could help me during this period of time, not knowing what the outcome of the election is going to be, trying to think of what teachings, of what lessons from the Torah are important for me, for my family, for my community, and I think for all of us at this time. So I'd like to share two thoughts related to the life of Avraham Avinu. We're reading about him on Shabbos, in the Parsha HaShavua, these weeks. And I think some aspects of his life can really help us put perspective onto this period of time. One idea, and maybe some of the listeners are familiar with, people in my shul, I hope, are familiar with it because I repeat it often, and that is related to the introduction of Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Netziv, to Sefer Bereshit. When he explains why Sefer Bereshit is called Sefer HaYashar, the Book of the Upright, and he notes that Yashar refers to a specific character trait of treating everybody, even those with whom one disagrees, with respect. And the Netziv notes that historically, this lack of yashrut, this lack of ability to treat people with respect, led people to terrible things. It led people to suspect others of terrible things, and even then, it led to bloodshed. And Sefer Bereshit is called Sefer HaYashar because our forefathers, most notably Avraham, had the capacity to treat everyone, even those they thought were the greatest sinners, kindly. And so the Netziv notes, we saw Avraham pray for Sodom, even though he hated them for their wickedness. Nevertheless, he desired their well-being. And the Netziv goes on to explain that Yaakov, too, spoke gently with Lavan, even though he was justifiably angry with him. And this is why Bilam said, I want to die the death of Yesharim, right? Because those are the people who uphold creation, says the Netziv. And for me, that's a really, really important teaching that I've stressed over the last few weeks as we've entered into the season, the importance of speaking kindly and respectfully and treating everyone, even those we disagree with. And those disagreements are deep and profound and important, and we could have them in a way which reflects a sense of yashrut, a sense of the type of Avraham Avinu's upright character. And one thing we should always ask ourselves when it comes to our learning of Torah and our living a Torah life is not only how much Torah we have learned, but is the fact that we've studied Torah, is that reflected in our character? Torah is about the essence of who we are, our fundamental character. And so that's the first idea that I hold fast to at a time like this and remind myself of. It's really, really important, and it may become even more important over the next 2 or 3 days. And the second idea, also from the life of Avraham, is reflected in a beautiful idea from the Rav, from Rav Soloveitchik. When the Torah tells us that after Avraham's terrible setback and experience in Mitzrayim, when he almost lost Sarah, which we read about just last week, the Torah tells us that Avraham returned El Mikom HaMizbeach Asher Asa Sham Barishona Vayikra Sham Avraham B'Shem Hashem. That Avraham returned to the site of the Mizbeach, of the altar that he built there at first, and he called out to God. And Rabbi Soloveitchik says this, and it's so beautiful. The disappointing experience in Egypt did not discourage Avraham from pursuing his original goal, the total redemption and conversion of mankind. He returned to the site where he had built the altar before his journey to Egypt, and there he again called on the name of God. The universal ideal was Abraham's lodestar. Persecution, ridicule, indifference, opposition, loneliness, none of these experiences discouraged him. And I found reading those words to be so inspirational and so strengthening to me personally, that no matter what we're going through in life, whether we are struggling with the reality of COVID-19, whether we're anxious about the election, whether we are engaged in a complex shalom bayit family situation, whether we are in a difficult work situation, whatever it is, like Avraham, we have to believe in ourselves. We have to believe that we can achieve our goals and believe that we can overcome even the greatest setbacks. And so that's what that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik is saying. He went back to that same place. And he called out to God again, almost as he was saying, it didn't work out for me in Mitzrayim. I'm going to start again somewhere else. I'm going to achieve my goal. And Avraham eventually, ultimately, does achieve his goal. And so this insight from Rabbi Soloveitchik is so important all the time. And I would argue especially important at a time like this when we are focused on Chizuk, and we are focused on strengthening ourselves. Part of that is really believing in ourselves and believing that we are bigger than we really are. I'll just end with this beautiful email that I got from someone I really don't know, but is on my shul's mailing list, my shul's email list. And so they get our programs, and she's the president of a different synagogue, she sends out some of my material, because they don't have an infrastructure and they need help. And so she sent me this email. Hello, Rabbi. So-and-so, another friend of hers, was kind enough to forward your mailings to me. You were so kind to give me permission to quote you. And then she said, this. Sometimes it's nice to be told you're a bigger blessing than you realize. And I was so touched by that. And that's true of all of us. We're all bigger than we realize. We're all capable of such great things, and we are certainly capable of overcoming the challenges in our life. And that's one of the greatest moments of Avraham's life. Avraham had a great career, but I would argue that his greatest moment is this idea of the decision to carry on after he fell so hard. That may be his most important achievement. So I hope we could keep these two ideas in mind, this idea of being able to civilly engage with each other no matter what happens over the next few days, and imitate Avraham, and imitate also Avraham and his belief in himself, that he could overcome challenges, and that we have the strength in ourselves also to overcome any type of challenge that is set before us. I'm going to now recite three chapters of Tehillim. I'll begin with Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor le David, Adonai roi lo echsar. Binos deshe yarbitzeni, almei menuchos yinahaleni. Nafshi yishovev, yancheni bimagle tzedek leman shemo. Gam ki elech begeit salmavet, lo irara ki ata imadi, shiftecha umishantecha, hema yinachamuni. Ta'aroch lefanai shulchan neged sorarai, vishanta vashemen roshi, kosi rivaya. Ach tov vachesed yudefuni kol yimei chayai, v'shafti v'veit Adonai le'orech yamin. And now Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph, 121. Shir lamalot, esa'enai el heharim, me'ayin yavo Ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, ose shamayim ba'arem. Al yitein lamot raglecha, al yanum shomrecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilecha al yad yiminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka, v'yareyach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikora yishmor es nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tesa uvalecha. And now the last chapter, Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir ha-malos, mi-ma-makim kirasbicha Adonai. Adonai, shema v'koli, tihiena aznecha kashuvos, l'kol tachanunai. Im avonos tishmor ya, Adonai mi ya'amod. Ki imcha haslicha, l'ma'an tiparei. Ki visi Adonai, ki visa nafshi, v'lidvaro ho'chalti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mishomrim l'avoker, shomrim l'avoker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai ha-chesed, v'harbe imo fidus. V'hu yifes Yisrael, mikol avonosan. And now a Mishra Berach for Cholim, a prayer for the sick. Mishra Berach avoteinu Avraham Yitzhak v'Yakov, Moshe v'Aaron David u'Shlomo, v'imoteinu Sarah Rivka Rachel v'Leya, v'yivareich v'yirapei et hacholim v'et hacholot. Ba'avur sha'anachnu mitpalalim ba'avuram, v'scharzeh kadosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem, l'achalimam, ul'rapotam, l'achazikam, l'achiyotam, v'yishlachem mehera refu'ah shlema min ha'shamayim, l'chol levarehem, l'chol gideihem, b'toch shar cholei Yisrael, refu'at ha'nefesh, refu'at ha'guf, Hashka bagala v'zman kariv v'nomar amen. And now Achenu. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim b'tzara u'v'shivya, ha'umdim ben bayam u'ben bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzeyein b'tzara l'rvacha, me'afela l'ora u'mishibun l'geula. Ashta bagalav is man kariv v'nomar amen. Maybe we could also sing a line or two. Ha'achereinu Hodes Yisrael. Ha'achereinu Hodes Yisrael. Hanesunim batzara. Batzara uvashivya. Ha'omdim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem, yirachem aleinem v'yotziyem mitzara. Livacha u'meyafei v'liyora. Mishibot legeula hashta v'agala u'vizman ekari.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Gelman. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first and most importantly, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank you so much for asking. I'm okay. My family is well. Baruch Hashem, healthy.
Busy, a little bit, you know, all over the place. Baruch Hashem, we have 5 children, 3 adult children out of the house at this point, and so they're spread out through the country, but healthy and well, thank God. And the 2 at home are also well. My wife teaches at Robert M. Barron Academy. She teaches middle school and high school Judaics. And so she's back in school with all the, you know, the social distancing and the masking. And we're doing okay. Our kehila is also okay, coming back to life. Some really good events. Our youth programming is meeting again on Shabbat morning. Of course, be very careful. Our Bnei Akiva program is meeting on Shabbat afternoon. So we have a lot of life back in the shul, and that's great. And we just moved into some new temporary office space, while we, plan to rebuild our shul. So a lot of good things happen.
We're certainly happy to hear that you and your family and the community is doing well. And let's jump back to a little bit of what you were just talking about to give our listeners an opportunity who may not be as familiar with your shul, with your community. If you give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general, and you mentioned that the shul is rebuilding, I'm wondering if that's in response to some of the hurricanes that we've had over the past several years.
Yeah, so our shul, United Orthodox Synagogues, is very, very diverse. Thank God. I really love that about our community in terms of ages, as well in terms of observance levels, backgrounds, some people who grew up in observant families and some who come to it later and like all of us are still on a pathway. And so it's really quite diverse, which is in every aspect, which is challenging, but also invigorating. Gives everyone a feeling that they have a place and an opportunity to grow here. We are rebuilding because after a series of serious storms and flooding, we made a decision to build a new sanctuary, a new campus, which would be elevated and out of reach of floods that occasionally come here, although we've been spared over the last few years. Due to a lot of very, very good work that the city has done to mitigate those issues. And so our neighborhood is not in that same type of danger zone that it has been in the past. So that's also a very positive development for us. There's been something to show for it over the course of COVID. We've had about 6 families move in to our community, which was a great boost to us, and we're looking forward to more.
It's amazing. It's wonderful that especially during these times, to have families move in. And we know Houston is a big medical town. So I wonder if you got some new doctors during this time. I had an opportunity about 10 years ago to visit Houston. I actually got to visit the school, Barron Academy, where your wife works, and it truly is a really wonderful community. Rabbi Gelman, the world's changed so much, and we're, you know, as much as we want to say there's an end in sight or believe in, as Jews and as people, we're always going to be optimistic and positive, and that's how I always end these calls every day. But we're in the midst of this, and Bezrat Hashem, and with hope and optimism, we'll daven and do everything on our part to hopefully get closer and closer to moving beyond these uncertain times. But while we're still in somewhat of the thick of it, when we think about all the changes we've gone through, shuls shutting down, to shuls reopening, so wonderful to hear that your shul youth groups and B'nai Akiva are operating again, although I imagine in a little bit of a different way than they were prior, social distancing and whatnot. But when we think about the changes, so many people went online, shiurim available online, and et cetera. When you think about your shul, you think about the Jewish people in terms of communal changes that we're going to experience that are going to change beyond COVID-19. What do you anticipate? What do you imagine? Something that perhaps we learn during these times that's going to change how we operate or how we go about as community?
That's a really great question, because it reminds me of the story of Baruch Ber Leibowitz. I think it's told of him when he was a kid. His father punished him and sent him to his room, and he was crying and crying, and his father heard him crying. And then the crying stopped, and his father went into his room and found that he was davening mincha. And afterwards he said to him, Baruch Hol, Baruch Ber, what happened? Why are you davening mincha? He says, I was crying already, so why waste a good cry? Might as well daven. So, you know, this has been a very difficult time, but we shouldn't waste it. We shouldn't, after it's all done, say we're going to go back to the way it was, because there are things that we've learned. For me, one of the things we've learned is a way to measure what's important in a shul. And what's become clear to me is, while it's important to grow and to have lots of shiurim and to have lots of programming, what's really, really important and what people really want is connection. They want to believe and know that the shul leadership, the rav, and the board knows that they exist and care about them. And lots of shuls have begun doing a great job of that, because we realized that we weren't seeing our people on a regular basis, and we wanted to make sure that we connected with them. And so through all different types of programs and packages and different ideas, we've come to realize that making sure our people feel noticed may be the most important thing that we can do. And I really hope that shuls continue that. That, you know, even if all of a sudden we wake up tomorrow morning and there's a vaccination and we're back to normal, I really hope that notion of staying connected as being a really important measure of how successful the shul is, sticks around.
Amen. We certainly hope so. And it's such a great and important point. As shuls closed down back in March and were shut for a while, and then eventually to reopen in every part of the country at its own pace. But one of the things we've been hearing from many in shul and community leadership is that what's missing so much is that social component of being able to interact. And I think you're right. There have been shuls that really have gone above and beyond, some better than others, honestly, in really communicating and keeping in touch with their Baal Batin, maintaining those relationships, and really just recognizing just how important they are. Rabbi Gelman, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all Klal Yisrael and the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot, the prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered, tovah for good, and may their ba'un shalom, the master of the world, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Thursday, at 1 p.m. for Words of Inspiration from Rabbi Tomer Zeno with Congregation Tiferet Shalom in Forest Hills, New York. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.